We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
Two, one. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 434, brought to you by betonline.ag. Go there, use code BLUEWIRE, and you get a welcome bonus when you sign up, and you can get your bet on even though no sports are going on. I want to start with a little breaking news. You ready for this, Scott?
I'm ready for it.
MLB plans to give a plan
to
the players to play. But they have to discuss the plan to play before they can. But there's stuff happening, but they have
to discuss it. 2021?
2021. 2020.
Oh, 2020. Yeah, yeah.
I felt like I was I thought I was taking crazy pills last week. Everyone's treating like this is breaking news. Oh my God, baseball's coming back. I'm like, nothing has changed. From day one, we knew they were going to have to discuss plans to come back under the COVID guidelines with a shortened season and figure out where they're playing and when they're playing and who's getting paid and are there going to be fans. Like, nothing new was reported last week. Everyone treated like it was groundbreaking. Why?
Because everybody has hopium, man. This is hopium? Exactly. That's hopium good. is the drug
Did you make
that everybody
that up, or I just
is
never
addicted.
Heard that?
No, I've heard it in like trading markets and stuff. People go and they'll hang on to absolutely anything. And normally it's, you know, Twitter just looking for any glimpse of green grass and blue sky and grown ass men throwing balls back and forth to each other. So yes, maybe there's going to be a proposal sent. Maybe that's going to happen. A lot of people have kind of backed that up.
There's
that's
a lot of smoke there. Yeah, Plouffe originally tweeted it. Everyone said, oh, Plouffe, you're just an ex player. Why are we supposed to listen to you? That caused real reporters to start fighting with fake reporters, which is only like a baseball Twitter thing, I have to imagine. And then you got like Passan and
What's his face came back up? The fake Orioles reporter
Dan
from
Clark
Australia.
Dan Clark Sports, yeah.
Dan Clark, and he got eviscerated by Brittany Giroli, who was the Orioles beat writer who was on our show that laughed at me for saying that they were going to have to trade Manny Machado and whomever else.
There's no one more sensitive than a quote real baseball reporter. Honestly, yeah,
that was a great combination of personnel leading to that thing. Yeah, no, it was it's the same thing.
Yes.
So do the players probably know something? Yeah, I bet they do because their agents are probably told something from MLB. Because guess what? On both sides, MLB and the players' union, they're both trying to sell shit to the players. Both trying to sell it.
So what was supposedly what I had imagined, what imagined Plouffe ran with is that teams were telling players to get ready, to start ramping up. Because the proposal is probably going to be a mid-June spring training start, which means you need to start your ramp up now. The worst case scenario is things get delayed and you're still ready. But if you can't, You have to start ramping up for best case scenario, mid-June spring training. And then a July, early July, July 1st, July 4th, whatever it is, start to a regular season. But if you don't start now to ramp up, then you're not going to be ready for mid-June. So that's probably why it all happened.
But the timeline is actually interesting because a few weeks ago, if you remember, I had retweeted former NHL John Scott, who is actually on the Blue Wire Network show Dropping the Gloves. That's how I really know him. And he said something similar for NHL season. And it's because the players are talking. Because people have told players to ramp up. Hey, get ready. Get your family ready. Get these things ready. And these are all measures for the just in case. Like, yes, it's in the proposal because if they accept the proposal, then we're game on. If everybody is good, there are theories and rumors of what's in the proposal, so let's leak them and tell the players to start getting ready, and let's try to get some media around this thing to get some hype. Let's get some the crowd on our side, essentially.
So let's quickly, before we talk about the negotiations, which I think is going to be the bulk of it, let's talk about what we think the proposal is going to include based on reports. And it's that around a June 10th spring training V2 start, around a July 1st, quote, regular season start, regional play. I don't think it's going to be those three divisions, East, Central, West, because they're talking about a universal DH, which would indicate that there's and still having leagues. So there'll be a National League winner and an American League winner, but it's still going to be regional play. So those kind of are contradictory because the Yankees are going to remain in the AL East and the Mets are going to remain in the NL East, but they're going to play each other a bunch this year just to reduce travel. Yeah. But the Mets are still going to be competing for the National League and the Yankees are still going to be competing for the American League.
So do you think that is purely because baseball just doesn't want to blow up the divisions for a shortened season? Or because, you know, I would think that when you're looking at strength of schedule and all that thing, it's going to get screwed up for doing this.
Well,
it's going to become, I mean, I know strength of schedule is not really considered much, but when you look at what it could result in a much, much more difficult schedule for some teams.
Well, I think they're going to do that because it's a compromise with owners, because I saw the Braves chairman start to complain that the Braves were going to be in that Central division, even though they're right. An Eastern division team. I mean,
yeah.
On a map, geographically, they're further west than, say, Pittsburgh, even though Pittsburgh is in the NL Central and the Braves are in the NL East. But he's like, we're an Eastern team. And I think what it comes down to for those guys is TV ratings. If we're playing a bunch of Central games at 8 p.m. and 8:30 p.m., our TV numbers are going to go down than if they're at 7 p.m.
There are no TV numbers. There are no TV numbers.
What do you mean there are no TV numbers?
Right now. I mean, I'm saying, like, no, these guys need to make a deal
but they're,
and stop worrying about the little...
This is what these guys are paid to worry about.
I get it, but they're also paid to worry about disaster relief, and that's what's happening right now.
Everyone's going to have a complaint. There is no chance you can satisfy everyone with this.
For sure. If we're talking about an hour...
Some people, whether it's owners, whether it's players, whether it's TV people, whether it's fan, everyone's going to have to make a compromise somewhere. And correct. If everyone just holds out for what they want as a, quote, perfect plan, we're never going to have sports back. We're never going to have baseball back.
If they even hold out at 75%, they're probably not going to get sports back because there's going to have to be multiple things that multiple concessions for both sides. I mean, and they're going to hurt. They're going to hurt badly in order for them to get this deal done. Like
yeah.
They're going to, so both sides are going to take it and they're going to have to take it willingly because in order for them to get that ball over the proverbial goal line, they will have to make massive concessions and it's going to hit the dollars on the owner side and it's going to hit the dollars on the player side and no one's going to like it. And it's going to set bad precedent for whatever the hell we are dealing with right now. I don't know how much that goes into it, but it's going to set some type of precedent that's not good for both sides, probably.
Yeah, the big hurdle is going to be getting the players and the owners to agree on player salary. Because do you remember shortly after the season was delayed, they agreed on a prorated salary for players? Because at that point, I think owners still were under the impression there would be fans in the stands eventually this season. So if we only play 130 games, then you only get paid for 130 games. But you get paid at 100% for those 130 games. Get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. And players were like, okay, fine, that's fair. Now the owners are like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. If we only play an 80-game schedule, we can't just give you half because we're not making half either. We're making less than half because there's no
way
gate.
Less than half.
There's no gate revenue. Yeah. There's no concession revenue.
Right.
It's only TV money. So. Yeah. You have to take less than your prorated agreed upon. And the players are like, F you. We already said we'll take the prorated. We're not going to back down even more. So
and
that's
we're still on the player side. It's the same, right? They go out there and they play baseball. They have to prepare the same
no
way.
No different for the players. Exactly.
Exactly the same thing. So there becomes other now avenues in how you can possibly get to this. Cause now we're going to throw in other people. We're going to throw in other entities and organizations because if there's no, there's no gate revenue. There's no concession revenue. There's none of the money that people are spending in the stadium. Granted, now because of that, there's also no employee revenue. So you're not staffing the stadiums like you normally would as well. So that is a little bit of a help. But
well, no, I mean, in some cases, these teams are paying their employees through May 31st, so they're paying them for 2 months of no work.
My point is you're not going to have all of the stadium people in there at the same capacity. All the ushers are not going to be there.
Security and grounds crew and stuff
like that. Yeah, because there's an equation. I don't know what it is. I'm a doctor, not a mathematician. But they go, when you go have a game and it's empty, you know, a lot of times the owners would rather give that seat away.
Are lower in that, but they're not zero.
They're not zero, correct. So what they're going to start doing is looking for other ways to increase revenue, right? And what does that look like now? It's somehow digitally distributing something, the rights to something, the more ads in some capacity.
There's a problem, you know,
going
there,
all online. There's a big problem here because there are contracts for who can broadcast what. And if you can't expand that in some capacity or manipulate that in some way where you're giving now a little bit more of, you know, leeway and where the game is going so that you could fill that more with ad revenue and just get creative with that. Well, now you need a media company as a third party to also be willing to do that and take less of a piece of the pie, or at least renegotiate those things. So there's so many renegotiations for the owners to get back whole that I think it's going to be very difficult for them to even think about those, you know, or get far enough with those where they can feel good about that and then go to the players and take a hit.
Yeah. And also you're talking about making up the revenue and ad spend for these, but companies are not
spending
money on ads right now. So if you want to slap some labels on jerseys or put some more in-game ads, like the announcers are going to be doing live reads and stuff like that, well, you got to find the advertisers to be willing to spend the money to do that. And that's not going to be easy as well.
There's going to be some spending, I think, over the summer when quote, things are getting relatively back. There's going to be a spend because I have a feeling some of these advertisers might also look at this as, hey, there's going to be a spend in the summer, but guess what's going to happen in the fall? Potentially huge fallback if this thing does come back.
I can't even think about that because that's a whole other obstacle that all sports are going to have to deal with. If baseball starts their 80-game season on July 1st, but then on October 1st, you have to shut down again because then, like, honestly, so we have a regular 80 games, but no play. Like, what is the... I'm not saying shut it down entirely because I do want to see baseball this year, but it seems so difficult to actually have this thing go off without a hitch.
So one of the, well, yeah, without a hit, that's, it's practically impossible. But one of the, where was it? The one of the contingencies in making sure that this thing can actually work well, like it has to happen, is that they have to have a good plan in place for when someone... when someone gets sick.
Yeah, that was one of the two non-negotiables reported, was that MLB has to have tens of thousands of coronavirus tests, and they need to have a contingency in place if someone tests positive, when someone tests positive.
No. They need to have a solid plan in place.
Yeah.
I love that. What does that even mean? Like seriously, though.
Wrap them in a bubble and throw them in an airtight container.
So to me, what that means is, there needs to be a vaccine or actual, I talked about this last time, I think, actual treatment that is now said to actually work, like tested, working. Doctors are like, yep, it's working. It's you know, they're not going to die. Like,
well, that's
we now
not
going to
be ready by July 1.
That's my point. If these things don't line up, that's the contingency. That's the fallback. That's what you need in place for if something goes wrong. You need a medical plan in place. And I don't know how they're getting there in July. That's the biggest thing. To me, that's always been the biggest, you know, fallback for this thing. The biggest hiccup. Like, it's not a hiccup. It's the whole reason we're here. It's like, let's make sure these guys can actually get back to a healthy place.
Extrapolate it past sports. And like, that's what the general public needs to get back to normal life. And like, so the economy can start going again. But for the purposes
not falter.
For the purposes of baseball, yeah. Which then brings me back to, why are the players so dead set against quarantining in specific areas? The reason that teams were going to go to their home ballparks in their home cities is because players did not want to go to Arizona or to Florida and quarantine themselves in order to play baseball. Part of me understands that. But if they want to play, that might be the only solution.
And to me, that's not a solution either. So, because you're going to have limited players. Now you have a bunch of minor leaguers playing
in
the major leagues.
You know what?
I know, but you and I are saying, you know what? Okay, fine. Like, I'll watch Rob Refsnyder play. I would love it if Rob Refsnyder came back.
He's still in the league?
I don't know. But I don't think the Players Association is going to agree to that. That's the thing. Like, you have to have the the voice of the people behind what you're saying. Like, Tony Clark is going to have to do that.
They're never going
to
agree on anything. I have no faith that they will ever agree on anything.
It's hard to understand that these guys are actually going to be able to agree. Yeah, it's difficult to get your mind around a deal that everybody is.
They've never agreed on anything.
Has taken enough of a haircut that they're both okay with it. Yeah, it's hard to hear that.
So they also talked about a couple things. There are certain cities like New York City or Los Angeles that you might not be able to play in because regardless. So the Yankees might not even be in Yankee Stadium.
Canada's going to be a problem.
Right. Canada's a problem. The Blue Jays will probably have to play somewhere in America. The Yankees will have to play somewhere other than New York City. The Royals will probably be able to play in Kansas City. The Rockies can play in Denver, but the Yankees might have to play in Florida.
Maybe. Yeah. No, it's definitely, that's the thing. Like some of these cities are specifically New York is definitely worse than others.
You'd be opening yourself up to way too much unnecessary risk by playing in New York City, both the Yankees and the Mets.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah, the thing.
So, and like you said, the whole Canada thing. So the Blue Jays are the only Canadian team, but maybe they have to play in Florida as well. So then if you have the Yankees, Mets, Blue Jays, Marlins and Rays in Florida, just put them all in Florida and put them all in Arizona. Then you don't have to get an airplane. Then you don't have to go to the airport. Why is that so out of the realm of possibility?
It's too hot.
It's too hot. Wah.
They get cooling towels. Get Andrew and Tiana to get them all cooling towels.
Yeah, we stuck it out in the 105 degree heat.
You didn't stick anything out. You didn't stick anything out.
Because I'm not a moron who wants to sit in the sun and sweat.
Then don't say you did.
Yeah, so I don't know. I found it kind of frustrating to watch all of these people bug out about, oh, baseball's coming back. Let's get excited. I get they want something to be hopeful for. Like, that's the thing. If MLB says our plan is to work towards a July 1st date, I get it. That puts a line in the sand that you can get hopeful for. But I still need to see some, like, concrete steps that, like, okay.
It's not even a concrete
A, B, C can happen. Yeah. Like, here's what we're doing to achieve A. Here's what we're doing to achieve B. They're not doing any of that. It's just, like, rumors floating around on Twitter.
You know what they need to do? I'm being dead serious here. We need live negotiations.
Oh, God. That would be such a nightmare.
From the boardroom. I just want the entertainment personally.
Oh.
But I want to see Rob Manfred, Tony Clark, open mics. Let's go. It's like, you know, you have 30 seconds. Ding. It's like a debate, like a high school debate.
How much backlash do you think baseball's going to get if they cannot agree on any one of these things that we just talked about to start a season in July?
Like, there's going to be backlash on both sides of things if they start or don't start. So I don't know which is worse for their.
But if it comes out that, players and owners could not get on the same page for player salary this year, the billionaires and millionaires could not get on the same page, meaning we could not start a season. I think there's going to be a lot of pissed off people.
In what way? Like, I mean, do you think it's going to, I don't see it as a, you know, a ramification like a strike is. I don't see it that way. I think both of these sides.
In a way, that's a strike. In a way, that's saying refuse to play over money. That's what they're saying.
No, they're also saying we refuse to play based on money due to the health concerns.
But if they can get over the health concerns.
Not because it's a salary or problem.
But I'm telling you, here's the situation. If this happens, if they can get tens of thousands of tests to test for coronavirus, and they have a solid plan in place if someone tests positive, and health officials say, yes, you guys can start again in July. July 1st, it's safe to start again under these specific conditions. And baseball's like, yes, we can achieve those. Here's the problem. The owners, the billionaire owners and the millionaire players can't agree on something for salary. That's why we're not playing.
If it comes down to that and they get the green light for health from that side, which they won't. But if they did, then yes, then it would be a problem because now it's just a boardroom issue.
It's a money issue.
Yeah. No, that would be a problem. That would be a problem that these guys can't get their heads out of their asses and figure it out. Yeah, but again, they're always going to be able to lean on the health concerns because it's one, real, and two, I mean, the concern is real, you know, like that someone's going to, okay, you didn't do this because of, you didn't want to get sick. Well,
actually it's because, fine.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so there's just, that's something that they can always use as their PR crutch.
Definitely, because no one's going to criticize a player or an owner for not wanting to get back to baseball because of health concerns. If a player is concerned about his health and the health of his family, no one's going to criticize that. But if it's because they wanted $10 million and they're only going to get $7.5 million, people are going to criticize that.
If this becomes an arbitration hearing in public, then yes, it's going to be ugly. Which I mean, at this point, I'm looking for anything, so I want public arbitration.
See, I thought you wanted it to be public and nationally televised so we could all find out who the real sons of bitches were.
I mean, we will. That's kind of like an organic part of this process.
Yeah,
you know?
But in real time to see, like, yeah, no Randy Levine in there just like being a jackass.
Oh, I'd love it. I would watch the show. I would watch that over the KBO all day.
There's also some news about the baseball draft. It's going to be on June 10th. But it's only going to be 5 rounds, or at least that's the reports. Baseball America reported that. 5 rounds instead of 40. That's quite the reduction. And there is some definite ramifications to this. This saves teams a ton of money because they have to pay fewer players out of the draft. That means all of the players who would have been drafted can now be signed, but it's capped at $20,000 per signing. As non-drafted free agent signings, they could choose if they still have college eligibility or something like that. They could choose not to sign.
Have they figured that out yet? Has the NCAA said anything about the eligibility of these players?
I haven't seen.
Are they getting time back? I would assume that that's going to be.
Well, if there's no NCAA season, yeah, it's kind of like a redshirt season.
Maybe. I mean, in theory, but I don't know if they're actually going to do that because, well, one, you're also in school for, you know, going to school. So you may not be there anymore, but you may have eligibility. I don't know how they're, I don't think there's been anything definitely talked about for that, but that's going to have to be something that's the trickle-down effect for this is so ridiculous.
Yeah, and but, Buster only tweeted he was talking to different experts in the field, and there's a fear of major job losses from player development, scouting, and baseball operations departments because of this.
Of course. Of course. The job losses are going to be all over the place. It's yes.
Well, if you're drafting 5 rounds of players versus 40 rounds of players, that's a whole lot of player development that you're not going to be doing and a whole lot of scouting that's not going to be needed.
Well, in fact, there might be more scouting now because you're trying to find all these other guys who didn't get drafted. So, you know, theoretically, you might be sending more people out there to see more players and check them out in person. But yeah, no, it sucks for college seniors, those guys that have been busting their ass and that are trying to get in this draft, especially the guys that are like, you know, maybe undrafted, but had the potential to, like, you know, take that leap and get up into some of the later rounds. It's a really shitty situation for all of those guys.
So I was in a Twitter conversation with Kyle Radley at K Radley, and we were talking about milestones and how different things will be affected due to a shorter season. Because if they play 80 games or if they play no games at all or any number of games, guys are going to be, the milestones are affected. So how might we look at something in 15, 20 years that, oh, if player X had a full season, maybe they would have done this over their career instead of, you know, fewer home runs. And we were just talking about if World War II doesn't happen, there's certain guys that get 300 wins or Ted Williams gets 3,000 hits. Joe DiMaggio would have reached certain milestones. And then he brought up a good one. Is that Willie Mays missed about 266 games due to service time. He was drafted in the early 50s. He never actually went to Korea, but he was in military service. So he missed like almost two full seasons. He would have broken Babe Ruth's home run record before Hank Aaron did. And Hank Aaron would have eventually passed him, but Willie Mays would have hit more than 714 home runs if that doesn't happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that if with shortened seasons, the what ifs, you could probably go on for days. I don't think much changes. You go back to the what ifs.
No, I know.
It's an unfortunate thing when you look at it and you know, you want to get behind a lot of these milestones. But to me, the milestones in baseball anyway are just so diminished. Like, what are they anymore? What do they mean anymore? To me, they don't really mean much at all.
Certain people care about them, hold them, cherish them.
I just don't know how you can cherish any of them anymore.
No, I agree.
Because none of the big ones are going to be hit because of the way that they pamper a lot of the players. So you're not going to see any of these, like, and you're not, I don't think you're ever going to see these large numbers get touched.
What record in baseball do you think now would be the biggest deal if someone breaks it?
It's Ripken. The consecutive game.
Well, no one's ever going to touch that because of all load management and like the studies that, it's actually beneficial if you only play 145 games a year versus 100.
They're making too much money. They're making too much money for someone to go out there.
So that one's not even, no one's ever going to be allowed to break that one. What's one that someone would be allowed to break that if they just achieve it, like statistically?
In one season?
Anything. Career, one season.
I don't think the career numbers are going to be able to be there because I don't think that, I think the totals. I mean, home runs you could say will potentially get broken if someone could stay healthy and hit for power later into their career if the balls are juice and that continues on. So maybe some of the power numbers, but I just don't see somebody staying on the field long enough for a lot of these to get broken. Honestly,
what about 56 game hit streak? I feel like if that gets approached and broken, that is a major storyline because it's such a long buildup. Like a guy gets to 35 games. Anytime someone reaches like near 35 games, I remember a few guys reached it.
Didn't Rocco Baldelli get far at one point?
Oh, Jimmy Rollins got pretty far.
Jimmy Rollins got definitely, yeah.
So I think if someone approaches DiMaggio's game hit streak, I think that's a huge deal.
That is a huge deal. That is a massive deal.
So in the world of baseball. Just
in season. So, yeah.
That's a record in baseball. I think that's one of the cooler records in baseball that people look at.
Absolutely. It's never going to get touched. It's not Why ever going to get touched. Because, nobody hits singles anymore. If anybody's going to do it, it's going to be DJ LeMahieu. And appropriately so. But my God, it better be in a Yankee uniform. Because I don't think when you have these guys with these injuries, if there's anything wrong, they will sit and then they will maybe sit a week. And then what? You're supposed to come back and like stay hot after a week?
Well, actually, people have said the biggest reason that that's never going to be broken is because of relief pitchers. So Joe DiMaggio would face the same pitcher four or five times in a game. So if he was 0-for-3, he'd get him on the fourth time.
Yeah.
But now if DJ LeMahieu is 0-for-3 and it's the seventh inning, well, guess what? Someone throwing 99 miles an hour is coming out of the bullpen, not the starting pitcher. So.
And DJ LeMahieu will go yard, oppo. And
it's harder to do it.
Everybody's specialized now, so yes, that's absolutely correct. There's it's a lot. You can't get that fourth look at a guy.
I'm not saying that. Oh, all DiMaggio did was go.
Sounds like you are. Sounds like you're. Sounds like you're diminishing what DiMaggio did.
I forget his exact batting average during the hit streak. It was great. It was well over. I think it was something like 370 or something like that during the hit streak. It was really good. But it was easier. That's all I'm saying. It was easier.
How many donuts did he dunk in his coffee? That's the question during that streak.
He's not a dunker. So I guess now's a good time since we made a Seinfeld reference to mention that Jerry Stiller passed away this morning last night. This is Monday morning. So sometime between yesterday and today, he passed away. And he had some all-time Seinfeld moments as far as Yankees go. And I know you talked to Kyle on his podcast about one of them when Steinbrenner's over and he's yelling about why he traded Jay Buhner. It's a classic. The one you guys did not mention though is that in the finale, and this was a cut scene, is that in the final courtroom when Steinbrenner took the stand, George's dad stands up in the court and starts yelling about Hideki Arabu.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much impossible to narrow it down to five. Honestly, I could have done that much, much more. Look, I think Jerry Stiller was 92 years old. Man had a hell of a run. Hilarious. I mean, one of my favorites about that scene or about that episode when when Steinbrenner goes over to their house is the answering machine. The message that he leaves on Jerry's machine. He says, "What is it?"
Mr. Steinbrenner's
Mr. Steinbrenner's here. George is dead. Call me back. It's so good. But yeah, the whole time, you know, Steinbrenner's over there and he's worried about Jay Buhner, trading Jay Buhner, man, or Ken Phelps. I always get Ken Phelps and Steve Alboni mixed up. Yeah. But no, it's one of those terrible ones. And Jerry Stiller was a king, man. He was the best. So it's sad to see him go for sure. And we have a lot of Seinfeld references on this show. So
do you know what I thought you were going to bring up in that podcast? Was this was an early baseball reference? Is like, I think season one, Jerry's watching a taped Mets game and Kramer comes in. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning and Kramer ruins the ending for him. And Jerry's like, "Oh, I was at the club. Like I haven't watched it. Why'd you ruin it? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Why are you ruining a baseball game for me?" I thought you were going to bring that up because that almost happened to you on game 7-03 ALCS.
It almost happened, but it didn't. I didn't get close to it being ruined. So
no.
So we were protected.
Yeah.
We were protected. I didn't have Kramer bouncing into the apartment, blowing up a spot. But that's actually an interesting. He was watching season one. He's worried about
season one. He's worried about Mets game getting ruined. Yeah, because in the first, Jerry's a Mets fan, obviously.
Yes,
and right. He never said he was a Yankees fan. But
I know. But
when
it was
the
implied.
Show started, the Mets were good, so that's right. The team they talked about. And then as the show developed, the Yankees were better than the Mets, so that's the team they talked about.
And also, Larry
David's a huge Yankees fan, so he's like, right. "I got to get some Yankees stuff in here." And George Steinbrenner was a walking comedy show. I mean, you could make fun of him for episode after episode, and they did because he was ridiculous.
I had forgotten, though, in the beginning of the show itself that there was a Mets tie to Seinfeld. I know in real life he's a Mets fan. I know that. But I had forgotten about that. So good point. Good pull. With currently no NBA, NHL, or MLB, you might think there's nothing to bet on. Well, guess what? You'd be wrong. Our exclusive partner, betonline.ag, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on. From their online casino to poker and blackjack, they're bringing Vegas to you. You missing the NFL and other sports? No problem. BetOnline has live daily Madden NFL 20 simulations that you can bet on. You can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. All open 24 hours a day and all online. Go to betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to join today and receive your welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online wagering solution.
All right, let's tie it to some Yankees news. The fact that there might be a July. Let's put our hopeful hats on, okay? What'd you call it?
Hopium.
Hopium.
It's a drug.
Let's inject some hopium.
It's a dangerous drug.
Let's inject some hopium into our veins, and let's say July 1st, baseball season is ready to go. Are the Yankees players who were injured going to be ready to go? And the big one is Aaron Judge, who reports are Aaron Boone was talking on the radio, and then I saw some reports over the weekend. Judge is expected to be able to return to baseball activities in June or July. So the injury that was supposed to probably not keep him out for opening day on March 26th, he's not going to be doing baseball activities until June or July. It was way more serious than they ever let on. Duh.
The other thing is when this all started, did they just like completely shut it down so that they know he's going to have to ramp up slower as well?
Possibly,
and that goes into this timeline.
Possibly, yeah. But it's a crock of shit if you thought he was going to be ready for March 26th.
Yeah, there's no way he was going to be ready. They were going to take their sweet ass time with him. And I think that's kind of what's happening here too. Like they're going to have to, like he needs to start stretching now. Like,
it's May 11th.
Slowly.
Okay?
Yeah,
it's May
11th. Slowly start stretching.
If the season started on March 26th, and it's May 11th today, would Aaron Judge be in the lineup on May 11th?
I think so, in May 11th, yes. I think some of this does have to do with the way that he ramps up.
But when did he come back? Like a week ago? 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it wasn't in April. It was probably early May, I'd say. I'd say around this time frame was probably close.
Yeah. Which, okay, fine. Like,
and that's completely
heal the rib injury.
Out of my ass.
Get the rib 100%. I don't want you coming back at 95% and then re-injuring the damn thing, and then we lose you again in August. So fine, take your time and get healthy. The important thing is the team is healthy for the playoffs. But I just get frustrated because I remember listening to Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman say, it's not that serious. When it was obviously serious. Why?
Well, maybe it's not that serious, but it just takes a long time for it to go away. that doesn't necessarily mean it's a serious injury. So if you want to look into the way that they use their words, which Cashman does use them pretty intently, he definitely has reasons he chooses some words sometimes. You know, there could be something about that. It's not a serious injury. It's not a serious injury, but it's going to take some time for him to come back and for it not to be re-aggravated. So we're going to take our sweet ass time. He's a big, big, big man. We're going to make sure he doesn't get injured again.
Well, this also means that he might not be ready if the season starts on July 1st.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Because if they're talking about a spring training version 2 starting on June 10th, well, if he can't really start ramping up again until mid-June, they might even hold him out until mid-July. I have no clue. I'm totally spitballing at this point.
Yeah. But I can tell you what they are going to do is they are going to guard against him, from him trying to get ready too fast.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of this is like, let's set some expectations that if we do come back, that he won't be ready because we don't want him to go through a shortened, you know, spring training version 2 and then, you know, have all sorts of issues after that because you're not getting your body prepared the way that we want you to get it prepared so that you can stay healthy for the remainder of the season. So I think a lot of this is safeguarding the fact that, you know, he could get it re-injured again and they don't want that to happen.
Giancarlo Stanton should be ready to go whenever they resume. And he's looking good on
Instagram.
I swear
to God, he better be ready. He better be ready. The man better not come up with a mystery calf injury or a mystery bicep injury or something that we don't even know about.
Because his third toe, has a hangnail. He's out 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's a reality for Giancarlo Stanton.
James Paxton has been throwing bullpen sessions and simulated games. He was expected to be recovered by mid-May anyway. So if they start in late June or July, he should be back no problem.
What's the difference between a bullpen session and a simulated game in quarantine?
Because I think a bullpen session is like you're throwing 30 pitches of, you know, 10 fastballs, 10 curveballs, 10 cutters, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Whereas a simulated game, they're like doing situations. So it's like there's first and second. So you might pitch differently in that simulated game than just throwing 5 straight fastballs.
Okay. I think you're right.
I made that up.
Yeah, it's close. I mean, you're trying to mimic as much as you can from someone calling it. It just seems like, okay, now, guys, now is the simulated game.
So in the simulated game, it's like maybe his wife stands in the batter's box like she's an actual batter. And yeah, then, like, bold. I don't know, maybe you got to get a catcher there, too. So that's not really
who's
socially
calling those signs?
Distant. Aaron, yeah, Boone, I mean, Aaron Boone is calling the signs from
Zoom.
From Zoom, yeah. And then, but, like, who's stealing those signs? That's the real issue.
Someone's there. There's definitely a camera blinking in center field or in his neighbor's yard. His neighbor's up there with a laser pointer.
Yeah.
just like well, simulating.
Do we know where Paxton resides right now? Is he up
I
in
have
Canada?
No idea. Probably.
Is he going to be able to get back?
Oh, he might not be able to come back.
Yeah. Hockey players Jesus. Were dealing with that.
Yeah. That's going to be a problem.
Because we know Garrett Cole's in Connecticut in Boone's neighborhood. And I think Ottavino's there around there too, right? Did I see that? Ottavino?
That's where they're from. Yeah, they're all from.
Well, Ottavino's from Brooklyn.
Ottavino's from there. And I'm saying he's in the tri-state, so there's roots there, so they're probably local.
Yeah, I saw
Garrett Cole,
something.
I'm very happy that he's in Connecticut.
I feel like Stucco tweeted that Boone, Ottavino, and Cole have been getting together.
You know what's going to be great is I have a feeling we're going to find out. It's going to be one of these stories that comes out later, but like, DJ LeMahieu just stayed at Steinbrenner Field.
No, yeah, he sleeps there.
He's just, he's like, he has a bunk in Steinbrenner Field and he's just there. Like that hockey video, that was actually from like 2 years ago. He was just waiting, holding. His wife was like, hey, I got this video that of you.
DJ LeMahieu has been quarantined from everybody and everything. He's been sleeping.
For 5 years?
He's been sleeping in the bullpen on a cot. He wakes up every morning as the sun rises. He doesn't even set an alarm. He just rises with the sun, starts taking ground balls. Then he runs sprints. Then he takes 5,000 batting practice swings. All of them singles to right field. All 5,000.
Yeah. He's a machine. I love him. I swear to God. I just need them to re-sign him.
If all
that came out of this year was no baseball, but we had DJ LeMahieu on a 4-year extension, I might be okay with that.
Finally, you found a baseball player crush that the player is actually good.
That's true. Well, I mean, for the longest time,
usually you like just mediocre players for no reason, like Rob Refsnyder or Tyler Wade. At least this time, LeMahieu's good.
But those were all born out of necessity. Like, I need hope.
Refsnyder was born out of necessity, but
Refsnyder was the hopium.
I forget why you loved Tyler Wade.
I mean, I'm not like the. It's not because I'm not the biggest Tyler Wade guy. It's not like I want him out on the field every day. I love him as the final guy on the roster.
You love his tools. Yes.
He's a toolsy guy. He's fast. He can play everywhere. I love that. That's why I like him. Bunt. Become a phenomenal bunter. I like the possibility of him being the guy at the end of the roster. I love it.
Aaron Hicks has started to throw from 90 feet, but his timetable is July or August anyway.
Maybe. He might just decide to start ramping it up now or in 2 weeks if he's like, oh, guess what? Yankees, get him on the phone. I'm throwing it 100%.
Who plays?
Show them a video.
Who plays in a game first? Aaron Hicks or Aaron Judge?
Judge.
Miguel Andujar says he feels 100%. This is not really news, so I don't know why it was treated as news, but Andujar feels 100%. My question about Andujar is, does this potentially stunt his growth in the outfield? Because he was going to get time early in the season in left field because of the injuries in the outfield. Now, if the season starts in July and and everyone's healthy in the outfield, there's no reason to put Andujar in left field.
Yeah. Does it stunt his growth in the outfield? That's the question. Who cares? He's not an outfielder. He was going to play outfield a little bit.
Well, he's not a third baseman.
He's not a third baseman. He's not an outfielder.
I'm confident in saying he's a better left fielder than he is third baseman.
Fine. I've said this. I think he looked great, you know, shagging those two fly balls that we saw early in spring. Looked phenomenal. Looked like he could do it all season long. I think that he could be out there. I think that the footwork was always his biggest problem, and third base being at that spot is probably the worst place you could be for a guy who has bad footwork, you know, first or third base. But like, you got a ball coming at you hot and you don't have good footwork to, one, get to the position to get to the ball, field set ball, then set your feet and do what you need to do to get the ball over to the other gentleman holding the glove. You can't do that consistently, you know, every single time or damn close to it. Then we're going to have problems in the outfield. You can look at dandelions. You can throw dirt grenades and still be okay. I'm not worried about his growth. So, you know, I'm not worried about the stunting his growth because
I'm just throwing topics against the wall because that's all we can do right now.
He's had no growth. There's no growth to stunt. He's been playing third bases. And
maybe he's taking out. Maybe he's at Steinbrenner Field taking fly balls all quarantine. LeMahieu was hitting fly balls to him.
No, LeMahieu was hitting singles to right field. Andujar is doing nothing.
Takes 5,000 batting practice singles to right field, he hits fungos to Andujar in the outfield.
One could say that DJ LeMahieu is actually stunting Miguel Andujar's growth because he won't hit him the ball.
Everything's
he's
a line
out there.
Drive.
He's ready and willing to work and grow as an outfielder, but LeMahieu won't hit the ball to left field.
Speaking of injuries, Dr. Christopher Ahmad, who's the Yankees team physician, wrote an article. I didn't know he's writing articles, but
he's bored in quarantine too. I think he actually started the article like that.
He's advising or warning about the risks of increased Tommy John surgery for pitchers at all levels, not just major league players, because of the shutdown. Because there's going to be quicker ramp up times. Normal throwing programs are going to be interrupted. Guys are not going to do the right thing as far as ramping up and their throwing regimes. And he fears there will be an increase at all levels of baseball in Tommy John surgery. This could also just be him being like seeing cha-ching dollar signs. Like, oh my God, I'm going to have so many patients.
He's going to have a lot of patients. It's a throwing regimen, not a regime. And two, the fact is he's right because people are going to be dumb ramping up.
What's the difference between a regimen and a regime?
Well, a regime is like like a president's regime or a player's regime. It's like a time period, right? Whereas a regiment is actually like a process of things that you do.
Are they spelled the same way?
That I don't know. No, I think they're definitely not. Regime is ends with an E, and regiment does not. So, you know, I'm sure we'll get corrected on this one. But What were we talking about? Oh, the Tommy John surgeries. Tommy John surgeries are definitely going to ramp up. He's absolutely right. Because you're seeing, you're going to see, like, I think when they first started going, you know, more and more, it was because of a environmental shift, right? I think we saw a lot more throwing. I think we saw a lot of the players at a younger age playing more baseball consistently, and they were playing year round. And I feel like when these tournament teams started, I don't actually know this for a fact, but I would guess that if you tracked this on a line graph over time, when you start seeing the ramp up of tournament teams and 12-year players is the time when you'll also start to see, you know, maybe like a year after or a little bit of a delay, but I bet you'd start to see a correlating data point with Tommy John surgery. That's just a guess, but that's one of the things that I do think is going to it. So you have a similar process, and like now you have all those players playing in a different way year round. They don't get the rest. And now you're getting all these guys that are trying to ramp up too fast and do things that are unnatural to what they normally do too. So I agree with him. I think there is probably going to be a spike in that, especially with the younger guys in high school. There's no fear. Like, they're on top of the world. Like, nothing can, they're literally, you know, impenetrable when it comes to any injuries at that point. Like, that's the mindset, right? So they're going to try to ramp up as fast as they can, and there's going to be ramifications, unfortunately.
That's scary if they're talking about an increase on Tommy John surgery. I feel like there's already so many surgeries. And I'm not just talking about, like, Chris Sale and Noah Syndergaard, who I think part of the reason they decided to have the surgery was because the season was going to be, at the very least, shortened. They were like, this is going to be, a lost season anyway. Let me just get this done now.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think so. Guys will go into that just knowing the risk reward of, like, if I can get another year or two out of this, then it's worth it. It's so worth
and
it for
Luis
my...
Severino, but his was decided.
His was before. I feel like that happened before it. But the thing is, if these guys can stretch their careers to get another contract, like it's an insane value put on that decision when you think about it in that way. When you think about it, if I could stretch my career 2 to 3 years, that's another contract.
It's not just stretching your career. It's maximizing. Guys come back better.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, that's well and good. Like, that's not – they do come back better. They come back stronger. It's not a definite thing.
But teams are also like, oh, you already had Tommy John surgery. Now you're 30 years old in the middle of your prime. I'll pay you more now because you're – at a lower risk of having Tommy John surgery again, and you're throwing 4 miles an hour harder than you were before you had it. Look at Monty. Monty was throwing 94 miles an hour in spring training this year. He was always a 90-91 guy.
Yeah. And then Nathan Rivaldi happened. And guys are like, let's reevaluate that. That's going to be the next thing, right? Have you gotten your second Tommy John surgery yet?
Didn't he have three?
Maybe. He doesn't have a real arm.
No. So you mentioned the KBO league a little while ago, and I know ESPN is airing it, and I love all the people on Twitter trying to prove how much of baseball fans they are. Like, people who tweet about the KBO, it's just them trying to prove to everyone, look, I'm the biggest baseball fan. No, I'm the biggest baseball fan.
I think that in some cases, people are just dying for some baseball, just to watch baseball, and that's fine.
No, I realize I'm dying for Yankees baseball.
I know what I'm doing. I mean, yes, I'm not talking about me specifically. I think that some people are fine with it. Like, this is, it's good. And look, I can watch it for a little bit. I don't care as much. Like, I'll watch it because it's there.
You don't care you don't care at all?
No, I don't care at all. But the game itself, baseball, is fun to watch. It's like an entertainment for entertainment value.
You
at that
know
point.
What? It's not.
I think it is. So in some capacities, like, it's interesting to an extent. I can't sit there and get involved.
So why don't you go watch a Little League game? You just, for the love of the game, just go watch some 9-year-olds.
No, see, that's exactly the point. That's terrible baseball, one, and it's different. But when there is something emotionally on the line, I will watch 10-year-olds. That's to the point.
I'm not talking about your 10-year-old.
No, I'm talking about the ones on ESPN. Like, I will watch that for a little bit. I like watching that.
Oh, yeah. I would much rather watch the Little League World Series than the KBO.
Yes. But the other thing about this is that there's just no emotional tie. So that is literally what is, I'd say, 90% of sports, of why fans are fanatics, because they get emotionally tied to the players, the uniform. They get all of these things that's been, you know, taught to you for years. Like, you're born a Yankees fan. That's what you've gone through your entire life. There's more than just baseball. There's nostalgia. There's all of these other factors in life. There's routine. You know, all of these things that you go into being a fan, that people are like, oh, just throw some baseball on and it'll be the same. It's not the same. It's just, I can't get into it. I choose not to get into it also.
Without a rooting interest.
I know why they're doing it. Of course, you should do it. They should put as much as they could on.
Yeah. But without a rooting interest, sports are pretty hard to watch. Like, even at the professional level, if I don't have a rooting interest, like, I don't watch basketball because I have no rooting interest in any team. I don't care if LeBron James wins or loses. I could give a shit less.
Right. I think not everybody is like you. I think that some people like watching sports for the pure of the game itself and just to be entertained by guys going out there, working their asses off and seeing the game being played at a high level.
Yeah. Great performances are great performances, and I respect that, and I do get into those. Like, for the Olympics, I'll watch the Olympics, but
USA thing, though.
Yeah, but, like, at the same time, if a USA guy doesn't win the ski race, like, I don't really care. But, right. I'll watch it because it's, like, a novelty, right? Like, it happens once every 4 years, and it's like, a niche novelty sport that you don't see every day. Baseball is not. It's mainstream. So I'm not going to watch.
But right now, it is a novelty. That's the point.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yes, but I think it's different right now because it is a novelty currently in where we are. People are just looking for something to watch that's competition. There's a plane going over and it's loud. And I'm trying to shield it. And I don't know if it's good.
No, so this is what I want to talk about with the KBO is what do you think of their season and their playoff format? Because I actually find it interesting. They have 10 teams and they play 144 games. So everyone plays each other 16 times. Ties are allowed even in the playoffs. Here is their playoff structure. 5 teams out of the 16 qualify. The top team automatically advances to the championship. The first round is the wild card round. The number 4 and number 5 teams play a best of 3 series. I'm putting that in quotes because the number 5 team starts in an 0-1 hole. So it's really only 2 games. The number 4 team only has to win 1 game to advance. The number 5 team has to win 2 games to advance. There's been talk of having that instead of the 1-game wild card playoff in baseball. There's been not rumors. People have said that would be better. It's like a hybrid 3-game series where you give a little bit of an advantage to the better seeded team. Okay. So the number 4 or 5 team will advance to the second round where they play the number 3 team in a best of 5 series. The winner of round 2 goes to round 3 and plays the number 2 team in a best of 5 series. Then the winner of round 3 gets to the championship to play the number 1 team in a best of 7 series. So the number 1 team does not play a baseball game for well over a week.
How does the tie play into all this?
If you tie, you just play another game. If you listen to my most recent history episode, you'd know there was a tie in the World Series between the Yankees and Giants. They just played another game.
So you just move on to it.
Yeah, in a best of 5 series, if the series is tied 2-2 and game 5 is a tie, you just play a 6th game.
That's dumb. That's very dumb.
I think ties in the playoffs are dumb. I wouldn't hate ties in the regular season, though.
No, in the regular season.
At the end of the day, after 144 or 162, ties are not going to matter.
Look, the hardo that's in their 20s is going to say, and I would have been the same thing. I would have said the exact same thing. I would have said, no, give me 17 innings. Me now? give me a tie. It's fine for the regular season.
Go to 10 innings. If you can't decide it in 10 innings, either call it a tie or send out some steroided freaks to do a home run derby.
I like that the best. I do like that the best. I like the fact of having a washed up. I don't want it to be a current player. Because if you do have that, you're going to get these guys that play in these softball home run derbies, and they're just going to be launching missiles.
What
with
if
Mike
instead
bats,
of
with illegal bats?
Instead of
we use aluminum bats too?
Yeah, sure. Instead of who can hit juiced up balls, aluminum bats, steroids are a requirement. You have to pee in a cup every day and it needs to test positive or else you cannot play in the tiebreaker home run derby. How about this? You get 3 swings, okay? Longest home run wins. Oof, we have the StatCast data to measure it. Right?
Do we? Do we?
Do. We do.
I don't know.
How about this? If it's in 10 feet of each other,
you trust the StatCast data when we're playing at Minute Maid Field? I don't.
I think if one guy hits it 470 feet and the other guy hits it 390 feet, you know the 470 just by eye is longer. But if they're close, fine. You do another home run. But this is where you really, like, guys are just swinging out of their shoes. You got a lot of, like, you guys are going to go on the injured list with back problems so frequently. So you got to have
No, they train for this. They swing axes in the off season so that their core is insanely flexible so that they can get max torque.
I want guys that look like The Rock hitting in the home run derby.
Have you seen some of these guys that hit in the softball home run derbies?
Yeah.
They're just like they're not much leg, they're a lot of upper body. They're like, you know, your dudes that just
skip leg day
in the Thursday leagues. Yeah, they destroy in the Thursday leagues, but they're freaking massive up top and they just mash the ball. You're also going to get these specialists who can hit a golf ball very far to now try out for this position.
Yeah.
Going to get a lot of different types of things. You're going to have lots of characters. It's going to be good. It'll be good for the personality of the game, I think. I know.
So what the KBO playoff structure does is it puts a bigger emphasis on the regular season. So there's no, we have the playoff seed locked up, so we're going to cruise for the last 10 games of the season. No, we really want to get a better seeding. I don't love the fact that the number one team has to sit out, but I do like the fact, I would like baseball to put more of an emphasis on the regular season.
Sure.
They did a little bit with the wild card, a little bit. Now winning the division does benefit you more than it used to. But I would be down for an even bigger.
I mean, if you look at the home road splits from this past year, then some could argue that, no, it doesn't really change much. But the fact that they're letting in more teams, I think, just de-emphasizes the regular season. The fact that they're even talking about the expansion of the playoffs more because they want that excitement.
Well, Listen
to me real quick on this. The problem that they have, like, they're trying to fix the game at the end of the season so that there's more excitement at the end. All of this excitement is geared towards 1 month of the season. Why? Why are they doing that so that the rest of the season is now going to be, now you start seeing the load management in May and June and July and guys not playing. It's going to become that where, you know, you're emphasizing like all of these things happening at the end of the year. You have more of an opportunity to make a run at the end of the year. Guys will be rested. They'll just wait.
What I'm saying is more emphasis on the regular season, meaning more teams fighting for positioning and for playoff seeding. And that's what you do when you expand the playoffs. More teams are involved. If you have fewer playoff teams, then a team that's three games over 500 is just out and their games don't matter. But if they could get in, then their games matter. More games matter.
Yeah, but I understand that. At the same time, though, you're de-emphasizing the top teams because there's so many people coming in now.
I don't know if there's a way to avoid that. The 100-win teams are not going to be playing meaningful games in September regardless. They're 100-win teams. But the 85-win teams are now playing meaningful games. So I think it benefits overall.
Until you have a situation where you have a 100-win team that's going into a do-or-die wild card game because baseball is supposed to be played that way.
Well,
after 100 wins.
Do you remember the stupid 7-team playoff with the reality TV show that everyone freaked out about a couple months ago? It was 2 months ago, or 3 months ago, but it seems like 3 years ago because of
that was actually when we were going to be playing baseball.
Right.
That was when Trevor Bauer was talking.
Well, they're talking about
Manfred an idiot.
In this, if there's a regular season this year, they're going to do more teams in the playoffs because they want to get more teams involved. And it's going to probably be 7 teams. What that could do is the top 2 seed or the top seed, the number one team, advances past that first round. They get like a 3-day bye into the next round of the playoffs, and then all other 6 teams have to play like a do or die 3-game series.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it becomes more of a tournament.
So then that if the Yankees and Astros last year, they each won whatever it was. Yankees won 103, Astros won 105 or whatever it was. It was close. Now, instead of Aaron Boone sitting everyone in the last week of the season, they're going balls to the wall to try and get that number one seed because they want to advance to the next round of the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, I could see if you're advancing, then that would be that would be one of those things to play for instead of home field, like more of an incentive.
Yeah, it's kind of like in football, the buys in football. Isn't football doing only one buy now? Isn't that new?
I don't know.
I think that's new. Only one team gets a buy now because they expanded the playoffs.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully they play and we can find out.
Another thing that I don't mind from the KBO is that an entire umpiring crew got demoted to the minor leagues because too many people complained about the strike zone.
Yeah, no, see, that makes a lot of sense. Like, they should be held accountable in a sense that if a Major League Baseball player doesn't do well and he's got options, guess what? Homeboy's going down. If he doesn't have options, homeboy might be kicked off the team. Where's Country Joe West? Where's the accountability? Leagues. Yeah, where's the accountability of Country Joe West going down to the minor leagues? That would probably change his lifestyle a little bit, potentially. Like, maybe he will be able to get off of Raja Davis.
You mean instead of him staying at the Four Seasons with his $500 per diem, he's got to stay at the Ramada in Pennsylvania, in Western Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
He's going to be eating at Denny's, although he probably eats at Denny's regardless.
Yeah.
I think it's going to change his lifestyle a little bit.
Yeah. He's going to Scranton and you know, going up at the Airbnb at a funeral house.
So the other thing that I just wanted to mention is go check out part one of the Subway series, A Brief History. There's going to be a two-parter. It's the first time I'm doing a two-parter. It came out on Friday. It covered the early 1900s to the 1950s, the great New York City baseball rivalries between the Yankees, Giants, Dodgers, and we'll talk about the Mets in the next episode. But I actually had a lot of fun researching this and learned a few things.
Did you see on Twitter a DM? Go in there now. Someone was trying to say something about maybe a discrepancy. Breaking news. Getting there.
What DMs did it go to? Because I don't know.
Bronx Pinstripes.
Oh, I didn't see it. Someone calling me out for my research?
Yep. Oh, yep. Here we go. I don't think it was crazy, but here we go. This is from Josh. Josh Thurstance. At Josh Thurstance on Twitter. Hi guys, don't know if you read DMs, but I found out, I must say, we've not read as many DMs since this whole thing, as it's not as frequent. Something I found out relating to recent Subway Series podcast that you might find interesting, using the Library of Congress website, there is record of the Subway Series term being used as early as 1921 in reference to a Dodgers and Giants game. He sends a link. There might be even an earlier example, but nonetheless, history podcasts are still all class, and this is a perfect segue. Thanks for the content and stay safe.
Okay, so what he's saying is that they called the Giants and Dodgers, which they played in the regular season every year,
right?
A Subway Series. Interesting.
Apparently,
I didn't see that in my research. I know that
when you go to the Library of Congress, I've gone down this rabbit hole before. First of all, you have to spend a lot of time to find like literally everything, because there are so many little intricacies when you start getting that far back that are unreported everywhere else. But the Library of Congress might have something different. And also, like you've said in the past with some of the other the show that you did specifically about the Yankee captains, there are so many people reporting different things in the history of time that you could go to one place and it says one thing, and then in another place it may not. And until you can find almost like shreds of consistency, it's hard to actually take it as a true statement.
Right. And they didn't call the first three World Series between the Yankees and Giants the Subway Series.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
So
does this mean like, I'm actually gonna click this link now and go back and look at it. But like, so some of the New York, okay, so this is a New York Herald. Oh my God. Did you see this?
I'm only on my phone because if I try and go to it on my computer, things gonna burning.
It's in the text. He must have like searched this the keywords, and someone actually keyworded the New York Herald from 1921, which is my God.
What a job that is.
Yeah, it's referenced one time in the second paragraph of the article, not like a headline or anything like that. It's like in the copy.
Okay. I mean,
but that's tough. Yeah. That's a tough call out. Right
that's
there.
A tough beat. That's a bad beat.
That's a tough call out. That yeah. is a tough one.
I also just saw that Jay Buhner is trending on Twitter.
Of course he is. It so, makes a lot of sense.
So go check out the Brief History Subway Series Part 1 and see why I may be wrong or maybe right about the early 1920s Yankees-Giants matchups and some of the Yankees-Dodgers World Series.
I'm with you on this one. I'm saying that that is not enough.
No.
To say that it was referred to as such.
No, they
because
called
some
it...
guy thought he was being clever on a given day and had a little too much coffee and put Subway Series in the second paragraph of copy.
But that's not a World Series. So the first time right. World Series was referred to as a Subway Series was for the 1936 World Series. This is because it didn't happen until 1936 again. They would have called it in the late 1920s, but regardless, I had some fun with that episode and have not recorded part two yet, but research is done. So maybe I have to go dig deeper on the Library of Congress to make sure I don't make any mistakes.
It's a brief history. You'd be there for a much longer period of time if you're digging that deep.
All right, you wanted to do out of left field before we get out of here.
Find that out as Sanchez destroys that to left field.
There it goes. Deep to left. Really deep.
In the air to left field. Back at the track at the wall. We are tied.
I pissed on a public building.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so I saw that Jerry Stiller had passed this morning, and it got my blood boiling a little bit, and some very small things to get mad about. It felt very natural for me to look at something utterly ridiculous and, you know, something that I should not be mad about, but annoys the living hell out of me at this point. And probably because we've all been, you know, doing this, this self-isolation thing for a while. But I have a relatively new job, two and a half months into it now. So I'm establishing new relationships, you know, sending emails to people that I have not emailed in the past as well. And I am getting very, very tired of and sick of not only sending, but receiving emails from people telling me to be safe and me having to tell every lead emails or lead conversations with, I hope you're safe.
Yeah.
I hope you're safe. I hope everything's safe. Look, granted, okay, I hope that everybody is safe. I don't want you to be sick, but I'm sick of saying it, mm-hmm. okay? Can it be understood at this point? Can we all just agree that, yeah, we all want each other to be healthy and safe, but why do we have to continuously say it every single time? It's driving me freaking batshit.
This is just the Happy New Year conversation.
Yeah, it is. I'm like, come on, man. I'm like, and I type it. I'm like, son of
a. You should
a
just
bitch.
Put it in your email like signature. Best, just comma, hope you're safe, comma, Scott Ryden.
In parentheses at the bottom, P.S. hope you're safe.
Yeah. Hope no one sneezed on you today.
But it's becoming one of those things. And this is purely a
because it's understood, right? We don't want anyone
it is
to be
understood.
Sick. I hope you and all of your family out there are staying safe and healthy. I just don't want to have to say it to you every time.
Right. I want you to understand that I know that and think that because I'm a normal
human
being.
That doesn't make you a bad person because you're not wishing ill on them. You just are sick of saying the words.
I'm sick of the routine of having to lead every single conversation with this.
Yeah, that's fine.
And honestly,
I think you're totally justified. I feel the same way.
When that's not shocking. When I receive an email and I see it in the beginning of it,
you get mad.
I'm like, you son of a bitch. Who are you to tell me to be safe? Is it becoming condescending?
Yeah.
Like, oh, am I not? Am I going to
go out
there?
Oh, do you help? I'm feeling safe and healthy.
Do you think that I'm the type of person that's going to go out in a mob without a mask and just get all my friends to hang out together in a closed space?
Do you know what I saw a bunch of yesterday was the front lawn gatherings because it was Mother's Day yesterday. So yeah. As we were driving out of the suburbs into the city.
Yeah, because you're back in the city. You're not in Rhode Island anymore. You're back in the city.
Back in the city. We noticed a lot of front yard gatherings. Some people obeying the 6 feet plus, other people just totally ignoring it. And they feel like, oh, if we're outside, we're not really going to be transmitting the disease to one another when that's just, we found, not how it works. But whatever, people, whatever they need to do to make themselves feel better.
Look, man, at some point, like, people are just going balls nuts. And there's a level of, like, I understand that people I understand how it's very counterproductive, but I also understand like how people are just going insane and need some human interaction as well. We actually had, so Bevan.
Human interaction is overrated.
That's true too. Especially when they lead with condescending statements. But we, Bevan, quote unquote, graduated. She walked.
I saw that.
This yeah. past Saturday it was scheduled. It actually got me out of a bit of a pickle because on this past Saturday we had the Yankees versus the Red Sox BP crew event.
And it snowed. It would have been snowed
it
out.
It snowed, but I was definitely going to be at the stadium and my wife had was scheduled to walk.
Oh, know, for commencement. Right.
So I had a bit of a pickle there.
What were you going to do?
We were trying to figure something out here. Really, I was trying to figure something out, so I didn't look completely, and I could still be at Yankee Stadium because that was going to happen. She's not listening. But so she walked, quote unquote, you know, that she walked on the on Saturday in our backyard, and it was the first time we did have a couple people over. Her parents came over to be in the backyard because it's better because it's outdoors, Andrew. And but we did have a distance like the entire time. A significant distance between us, and Kemp man was just trying to like tackle his grandfather.
He doesn't. He's, yeah.
It was yeah. It was
try to tell not, a 2.5-year-old to socially.
He distance. Understands. He understands like things are closed right now, and you know some people are. We have to keep away just because they're might be sick or whatever. But yeah, it was not. It was very awkward. And it ended up being not awkward, but just like kind of depressing. So the whole thing like when you're there with the people that you want to like you know give a hug to or. Have a conversation with you know, over a beer or sitting next to each other. Like you can't do that. So it becomes more of like that's part of the KBO for me too, is that it just is a reminder that this is not what I want to watch. I want to watch the Yankees. So when I'm watching this, it's just me getting a reminder in my face that the Yankees are not playing. And then I'm like, then I tune out, you know, that's when you start losing me. I tweeted the meme of the dude looking back at the other girl, you know, you know, of literally like any MLB player, like going out in their backyard, throwing a ball. We're all like, oh, are we getting ready?
Aroldis Chapman like, throwing in his backyard. Everyone's going to look at that over KBO homers.
Yeah, because it's the hopium. It's getting into it. Like,
yeah, I feel
like I know that guy. I know who he is. He plays for the team that I've rooted for my entire life.
That's exactly it. I know that guy. I have a connection to that guy. I want that guy to either succeed or fail. That is the whole point of it.
Yes. Yeah, and it's deep-rooted.
Yeah. That guy succeeding or failing affects my life illogically. That's really what it comes down to.
Yes. Yeah, so that's my gripe. I'm sick of telling people that. So if you get an email from me and I don't say it, don't take offense. I hope you're all right. I'm just sick of saying it.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode. Hey, I hope everyone out there is staying safe and healthy. We'll talk to you next.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.